Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In fact, the last time we had our current guest, Jeff Blum, on the show, well, it was all about the Astros and the cheating. And Jeff, you were so candid and honest and willing to talk about how this tarnished the Astros 2017 World Series. I mean, we were right in the thick of the commissioner's report when you last joined the show, and we're glad to have you on again. I can't believe that's where we were just a few short months ago. And now it's like it almost never happened.
No, that's probably the craziest thing, is it took a pandemic to overshadow what was just earth-shattering news in the baseball world with the Astros and the cheating scandal, the Boston Red Sox getting involved in all that stuff. But I couldn't agree with you more, because it was leading into spring training where there was so much hope. And then all of a sudden, the entire planet literally shuts down, and we have got so many more bigger issues on the table right now that, the Astros scandal has really fallen down that priority list, unless you're on Twitter and you have one of those, spam accounts that you really want to get some anger out there. But yeah, it's crazy how it's kind of fallen down that list.
Does it still matter, do you think, in light of everything that's happened both inside baseball and out, does it still matter at all?
Outside of baseball, I don't think it does, but inside of baseball, it means something to maybe a couple of teams around there. But I think the more that, with the Red Sox information coming out, and then that sealed letter that kind of leaked out a little bit, kind of plays into the narrative that some people out there have had with, there were more teams doing it. It was just the winning teams did it and won a championship with it is what concerns a lot of people within baseball. But it's kind of funny. I've always had, I've tried to stay as objective as I could with the whole situation, being an Astro employee, because, I played the game and we used tactics, not to the extent the Astros did in 2017, but, we used tactics. And I've talked to pitchers and peers of my own who kind of laugh at the idea that they're getting so much heat for sign stealing.
Yeah, it was the story in spring training until all of a sudden the virus shut everything down. And then baseball gets into this different situation where they agree initially to the prorated salaries, and the commissioner has the power to set the number of games, but it turns into this massive fight. As someone who played Major League Baseball and obviously works for a team, what was your perspective on that prolonged battle between the owners and the Players Association?
Yeah, there's a couple of different aspects to that, because being a player, I understand when you get into a collective bargaining agreement, you're going to start to argue for your side, because you're a baseball player, your career, there's no guaranteed amount of time in the big leagues, there's no guaranteed amount of money, so you want to make as much money as you can in a short amount of time, because there's going to be a lot of life after baseball. And then I moved into the broadcast booth, where I became a fan of the game. And I'm starting to understand the inner workings of ownership and front offices. And the biggest thing for me was becoming a fan, and then watching all of this unfold out in the public sphere is what really frustrated me. I wish there was more privacy to the whole situation, because what happened is what I feared the most, is that it would turn into a collective bargaining agreement instead of a greater good kind of aspect to this negotiation, where the greater good would have been getting on the field and giving fans baseball and trying to give back something good and unified. And all of a sudden we had this divisive argument about money and, some of the things within the game that really frustrated me. And that's where I think baseball kind of lost its way. And hopefully if the game does get back on the field, it will kind of mask that a little bit. But I fear that we just saw the beginning of a pretty nasty CBA argument.
It's hard for the average baseball fan or the average American to identify with, you know, professional athletes and the money that they make and arguing and fighting over millions of dollars in some cases, but not in every case. But from the player's perspective, can, as you talk about the CBA and you don't want to give an inch, but it's as though people have a hard time kind of wrapping their brains around the fact that not everyone's a millionaire in Major League Baseball. I mean, there are some who are very high profile and who have massive paychecks. But for the most part, Jeff, there are a lot of guys out there who are making the minimum and really couldn't afford to take too much of a paycheck like the rest of us.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, I'm not going to, you know, my experience in baseball was a little bit different than, you know, the Jeff Bagwells and guys like that. You know, I was that guy that played on, you know, 1-year contracts for my entire career. Mm. And I was very grateful for it. And I did make a career out of it. And there are those avenues to be able to go out there and do that. But to your point, this season, you know, with the pandemic, the pay cuts that are coming, there's going to be guys that go out and play these 60 games. And if you're on the lower end in the first 3 years of your career, there's a chance that you make $100,000 or less. And I know that's still a lot of money, but in the grand scheme of things, these guys are not going to get paid nearly what they anticipated when 2020 started.
Right.
And, you know, to your point about the longevity of the career, you know, if you're a third-year guy or if you're a guy who's at the end of the arbitration going into free agency, there is so much uncertainty moving forward with the finances of baseball that you would like to go out and make as much money as you could this year. And I think that's why it was such a sticking point for the Major League Baseball players to say, hey, you guaranteed us, you know, when we shook hands in March that you're going to pay a 100% of a prorated salary. And now they're pulling back on that because they gave them $170 million earlier and they got to pay some of that back. And then they're going to get 33% of their paycheck now. So there's a lot of, you know, you really have to dig into the weeds to see some of that stuff. But yeah, the players, that's why they're arguing for it, is because that earning window is so short in their careers. And if there's a particular part of your career that you're in those first, you know, 6 years now under the CBA where you're getting kind of suppressed as far as pay.
Jeff Blum, former World Series champ, current Astros TV analyst. All right, Jeff, when I say 60-game season, what comes to mind for you?
Oh, that is just a full-on sprint and how good my body would feel after playing just 60 games is what I think about. You know, you can get on a pretty good stretch. And I think, you know, I've talked to so many people and you get so many different answers, and I'm sure you have one too. You know, in 60 games, so many things can happen. You can either create a massive amount of separation between the good teams and the bad teams, or you could have literally 30 teams duking it out for the last, you know, couple of spots in the playoffs. And what I hear a lot of people talking about is basically the entire, as a ball player, if you heard the term, we are all tied after 100 games. I mean, that would be one of the more bizarre statements ever made, but that's basically where we're at in the season, is everybody is in contention going into July. And it's just crazy to think about, but it also provides a lot of inspiration to fans. It provides a lot of inspiration to players, knowing that if you get hot for 60 games, because there are teams that have phenomenal numbers over a 60-game span, and even individuals will have phenomenal numbers over a 60-game span, we could see some teams either sneak up there and get into the playoffs, or we could see some players that we, you know, barely heard of all of a sudden make a name for themselves because they're hitting .380 after, you know, 50 games. It's going to be an interesting year.
Remember this, last year, the eventual World Series champs, the Nationals, after 50 games were 19 and 31. And so when baseball was considering or proposing a 50-game season, I thought, are you kidding? 19 and 31, that's exactly 50 games. That's where the Nationals were last May. So you're right. Anything can happen, and it would definitely be a sprint as opposed to a marathon. Should there be an asterisk? We've talked about this before with the Astros and their World Series in 17, but what about a season like this that's such a strange aberration?
There's going to have to be some kind of notation, in the line that we talk about, you know, whoever ends up winning the World Series or whoever ends up winning a batting title. You know, the asterisk has really taken on a negative connotation, I think, and I think that's where the problem kind of sets in. How do you decide how to describe this season? I mean, obviously, you know, we know it's because of the pandemic, the COVID-19. But, you know, is it fair to those teams who went out there and played under these circumstances and put up great numbers and eventually won a championship? Is it fair for them to put that asterisk next to them? I wish there was another way to, or, you know, maybe we hashtag it or something like that, you know, to be totally millennial and current and put that next to the season. But there's going to have to be some way to figure out how to signify this season being different. But if you're living in the world of 2020, all you'd have to do is put 2020 World Series champions next to something, and you'd know it was an odd year.
Yeah. When you hear guys like Ryan Zimmerman, and he's kind of a high profile because he's from the Nationals, and other players choose to opt out of this season, what's your reaction to that?
I actually applaud him for it. I know that, it's a big sacrifice going out there and saying you're not going to play in a season, because Ryan Zimmerman, you know, maybe on the latter part of his career. So he's looking at numbers that he could be putting up to extend his legacy. So that's kind of interesting in that sense, but I do applaud it because you are sacrificing possibly money, possibly service time. I think that the Nationals are actually going to take care of both those things, because if you are high risk, which they should do, if you're high risk or somebody in your family is at high risk, you're trying to protect them from the risk that you're actually taking by going out there and playing. And then the Ian Desmond situation, you know, I appreciate the heck out of him actually articulating and putting down on paper, so to speak, how he felt and why he made the decision he did.
Yes.
Because it brings a lot of humility and humanity to the situation, which I think a lot of us lose when we know guys are making millions of dollars.
Mm.
And it really put the father, the husband, and the person behind it. So I appreciate the fact that he did that. It's just a shame that we actually have to have guys do that in order for us to understand why they're making the decision. But I applaud those guys.
Jeff Blum from Houston with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So where are they now? Where are the Astros? And what's happening as they try to get ready to open up this 60-game season?
Well, they should actually be in pretty good shape, because we covered a couple of games before the pandemic, and it was right around the time that Justin Verlander was going to miss a start with a lat injury. He eventually had groin surgery, and he has healed up, and everything I've seen on Instagram is that he's throwing the ball pretty well, so he should be back, which is a bonus. It's given Lance McCullers, coming off Tommy John surgery, another 3 months to continue to stay healthy and get back in that Astros rotation. So your first three are going to be Verlander, Greinke, and McCullers Jr., and that's huge for the Astros. Also, their young DH, Yordan Alvarez, was having some knee problems in spring training, and it's given him an extra 3 months to get healthy. So I think as far as health, they should be at, max capacity is who can come up, who can be on the field and help them win. And, you know, just to take it a little bit further, Dusty Baker's a new manager. I think
right.
It's given him another 3 months to kind of figure things out and get a feel for guys and maybe game plan a little bit during this 60-game season, where I think managing might actually have a pretty big impact on how teams go about their business.
You know what blows me away, Jeff? Well, we talked about how the Astros were the biggest story, and A.J. Hinch, Alex Cora, both losing their jobs, Jeff Lue now along with those two getting suspended for the season that's 2020, they're missing absolutely nothing. And if baseball comes back for 60 games, I mean, come on, could this have worked out any better for those guys?
You just basically stated every week I send a text to AJ Hinch, because we've actually developed a very good friendship over the years. And I text him continually. I'm like, are you kidding me? Of all years for this thing to happen, you picked the one where we're only going to end up playing 60 games, if that. And we just kind of, you have to have some humor about it. And we kind of chuckle about it. He's like, yeah, you know, if I was going to do it, this is the way you do it. You know, so he's won a championship with the Astros. He has a great legacy, even though he has a little bit of a stain being the manager of the team in 2017. But, yeah, he picked a great year, and so did Alex Cora. And hopefully those guys are able to bounce back like baseball can, hopefully, and they can get back in the game.
Mm. Well, without telling us too much, how's he doing?
He's doing really well. I know he's traveling with the family. He has an older daughter that graduated high school, so that he's actually given him an opportunity to kind of, you know, fill the void that this pandemic has created with the kids and be around them a little bit more often. And I think speaking for, you know, lifers in the game who have spent every summer on a baseball field or traveling around the country covering games, is that we get to be dads for the first time in summer, and it's just, he is taking full advantage of it like most of us are.
Before I let you go, Jeff, obviously the virus numbers, they're spiking in some parts of the country, including some baseball markets, and there are concerns. Baseball's not going to be in a bubble. The players didn't want that. And so it's going to be kind of out there in society. Is there a trigger point? What do you think would or should keep baseball from either starting or continuing the season, should it come to that?
That is an unbelievably good question, and I think it's a question that needs to be asked. I'm not sure if there's an actual answer for it, but
right.
I am a guy that is erring on the side of caution, and as nasty as the negotiations have been for baseball, I hope that there is a threshold where they say, you know what, things have gotten pretty bad, and maybe we shouldn't go through with it. But I think that baseball is being encouraged by the PGA, by NASCAR, some of the other sports that are going out there and trying to do this, but they are taking a serious amount of risk. And I appreciate the fact that you actually bring up the question, even though I don't have a legitimate answer for you, because you need to understand that, you know, whether they're a golfer, a football player, or, you know, a cornhole player, or whatever we're seeing on TV, is that these guys are taking a risk to play a sport they love and bring it to the fans that are out there. But, man, that's a tough question, because it is kind of frightening if it does get worse. They can't, it'd be tough to see them, you know, follow through on this.
Yeah, it's a year unlike any other, of course, but a year in which we have far more questions than we have answers. And that's not just sports, but we're all asking questions, and we don't have answers, really, to any of them. Oh, gosh.
No, that is the exact point. That is, there is no truer statement ever than we know what's going on, but we don't know everything.
Right. Well, it's great to hear your voice. We're always glad to have you on the show. And I'm just so struck by the contrast of your last appearance versus where we are now. You can find Jeff on Twitter at Blummer27, one of our favorite guests, former big league baseball player, but also now with the Astros on TV, and anxiously anticipating whatever baseball will look like here in this season. We'll keep in touch, and we'll have you on the show again soon, Jeff. Thank you.
I look forward to it. Always appreciate the opportunity, Amy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.